Our text for today is from Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 to 20. I read it in my version. Moses tells the people of Israel, it's his last time that he's able to do this as they're about to go over the Jordan, but he is going to stay behind and he will pass away. So this is part of what he tells them. See, face to face I give to you today life, good, death, and evil, which I set over you today. Love Yahweh your God, go in his way, keep his commandments, rules, and laws, and you will live and become many. Yahweh your God will bless you in the land which you will enter into to take. If your heart turns, you will not listen. You are compelled. You bow down to other gods, and you serve them. I declare to all of you today that as you wander, you will become lost. You will not be long in days upon the land which, after passing over Jordan, you will enter into to take. With the heavens and the earth, the living and the dead, I warn all of you today. I gave to you face to face the blessing and the curse. Choose the living so that you and your seed will live. Love Yahweh. Listen to his voice and hold on to him, so that he will lengthen your lives and your days of dwelling in the land which Yahweh swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here ends our text. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I said, this speech was one of the last things that Moses told his people when he was about to die. Moses, who is the most important character in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, is here giving what is called his swan song today. You can imagine just how important this speech was to him. In it, it is his last opportunity to give the Israelites advice to what to do in the future. He tells them what he wants them to remember and to go and do it after his departure. Now, we have swan songs that still take place. Oftentimes, the president will give a last speech, and that is his swan song. One that I especially have been affected by is the one by President Eisenhower, for two reasons. First of all, he is my grandmother's first cousin. And my father was named after him in 1922. Secondly, in that speech, he warned us about two things. One of them became a word, a phrase that was used throughout the 1960s with the Vietnam War and everything and into the 70s. And that was the term military-industrial complex as a thing to watch out for, that we not go and spend all our money on destructive weapons, and that would take up all of our resources and attention. He also issued another warning, which didn't go into effect, wasn't as well known as that one, and that was a warning against the scientific technological elite, who were also seeking larger and larger shares of public money in order to advance their goals. So those were what he was warning against, and we can see perhaps that his warnings were correct. So this farewell speech by Moses was his last chance to tell this people that he had led for 40 years his concerns for their future and what they should do in order to have a happy one. His instructions can be divided into two parts, what we are to do and what we are not to do. First, I would like to say that there is only one way we can possibly hear Moses, what he has to say to us through the Holy Spirit, that he has sparked a faith in us, in our Savior. And that is prerequisite to everything that follows. Just prior to our text, Moses has told the Israelites in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 30, "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live." So love and faith in the Lord is the prerequisite to what Moses is about to tell the people of Israel to do. What follows might be called third use of the law in Lutheran circles. Let's begin by looking at what he tells us not to do. Moses says in our text, "If your heart turns, you will not listen. You are compelled. You bow down to other gods and you serve them. I declare to all of you today that as you wander, you will become lost." Five things we are told not to do. Let our hearts turn, stop listening, be compelled, bow down to other gods, and to serve them. Let's look at those one by one. First, God warns against our hearts turning. What does that mean? I think most of us have had our hearts turn before. One thing I can think of is back as being a teenager, and perhaps you as well as I, had a crush on a boy or a girl at high school. You may have admired that person from afar, filling your thoughts with fantasies of going steady with that person. You may have even dated that person for a while, thinking all the time that life had never been so beautiful before. But then something happens. You see someone else and you may develop a crush on that person. Or you may get tired of your dreamboat or you may get tired of some of their habits and decide to pursue some other person instead. Remember how your heart turned from loving that one for it going out to that one desired person. Perhaps you'd even promise that person to love them forever. But then someone else came along and your heart turned from being devoted to that one true love to being devoted to another. Moses warns us not to let our heart turn from God. God is the only one who deserves our total and complete love. He should always be our first and greatest love. Even our love of our family, our job, our pet, or whatever should all be less than our love of God. All of our actions and thoughts should be influenced by the fact that we love God and we want to please Him. Second, we are warned not to stop listening to God's voice. God speaks to us through His Word. In the Bible, God puts in print His Word so that we can read it and understand it. In the sermon, in Sunday school and in our Bible study, we can hear God's word speaking to us and guiding us as we just think on and about God and His ways, such as maybe when we're driving or cleaning up around the house or when we're praying. God's voice can voice His concerns about us in our hearts. Don't stop listening to God speaking to you. For if you do stop listening to God, who will you be listening to? Today is the Super Bowl and there's a halftime show. Will you be listening to Rihanna's advice during the halftime show? Will you pattern your conduct after her? I looked her up and I would. Or perhaps you looked to the politicians for salvation. Certainly they make enough pie-in-the-sky promises to solve all of American's problems if we just do what they tell us, namely vote for them. No, the contemporary thoughts that are presented to us on TV, radio, in the movies, and in the government may often sound good, but unless they agree with what is in the voice of God and His Word, they're not that good. Don't stop listening to what He has to tell you. Next, Moses warns us not to be compelled or misled. This can happen easily if one turns from God and no longer listens to Him. For we all have hearts that need someone or something to fill them. And we all need someone talking to us, giving us encouragement and advice. But if we don't go to God and His followers for encouragement and advice, then we must be going to Satan's followers for encouragement, and advice. And they will encourage us to do wrong and advise us how to do more wrong. They will compel us to do wrong in order to be accepted in their eyes. Don't do it. Don't be compelled. Moses also warns us not to worship other gods and bowing down to them. And this is a hard thing to do, for we often are tempted to worship other gods, whether it be fulfillment of some kind, personal, financial, sexual, community, whatever. We seek that enjoyment and fulfillment. They're touted by the media as something worth worshiping. And we're presented all these ways where we can be regarded as successful and be personally more happy. Buy this car, this computer, this toothpaste, and it will be happier. Maybe even worship it. Make it your great desire to get that. And they are wrong. There are a lot of rich people in this world who have the best of everything, but they still aren't happy. Happy are those who worship the God of truth, for they then have eternal life and the glories of heaven awaiting them. And these are far greater than the best things that this fallen world has produced and are only temporary. Finally, Satan warns us against serving or working for other gods. Those who actively work for other gods are serving the same purpose as Satan's devils. The drug pushers, sex workers, corrupt self-seeking business people, and all those who seek only to get from life and not give, they are doing Satan's work. So Moses has plotted for us all the steps by which we lose our way from God. It begins with our turning our hearts away from Him who deserves our best love to some other object that catches our eye. From that moment on, when God is no longer number one in our hearts, we less and less listen to and believe what God has spoken to us through His Word. Rather, we listen to our new earthly sinful love. We seek to earn its favor. It compels us to leave God and begin worshiping it as God, until finally we are its servants, working to make it the God of all. From alcohol, drugs, boyfriends, girlfriends, and money to our families, careers, hobbies, or country, we can lose our relationship to God once we let something other than Him take His place in our hearts, until finally we become slaves to that false God. Is it not better to serve God and remain in Him than to serve other gods as money, sex, drugs, success? Moses gives five things that we should do if we want to remain in God's favor. They are: love the Lord, listen to His voice, keep His commandments, rules, and laws, hold on to Him, and go in His way. We'll look at each of these separately to see how they can help us remain in God's grace. Moses says that we should love God. Earlier in Deuteronomy, Moses tells us how to love the Lord. He says, "Love the Lord with all your mind, all your heart, and all your strength." Love Him completely, in other words. St. John implies that if one loves, and especially if one loves God, he is being God-like, for God is love. Jesus says, "No greater love has a person than this, that a person lay down his life for his friends." And Jesus showed greater love than this, for Jesus laid down His life for His enemies as well. But I suppose He considered even enemies His friends. He loved those who put Him upon the cross. He died so that their sins could be forgiven. He even prayed upon the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus, who was God, was love personified. To love God is to love that greatest lover of them all. Love is of God. So when we love God, it is possible only because God has worked in our hearts to make them so. Second, Moses tells us to listen to God's voice. If we love God, we will want to hear what He has to say to us in His Word. Using the examples of teenagers again, and again I'm speaking from way past long ago experience, a teen can sit or be with their love all day during school, and yet that evening spend an hour on the phone with them that night. They want to hear each other's voices so badly. We should want to hear God's voice that badly. We should study God's Word, for only there is the Word that was made flesh, Jesus Christ, revealed. That Word of God lived here on earth, spoke God's Word directly to humankind, was personally active in healing, teaching, and saving us from our sins. Desire God's Word as you desired a phone call from that love you had as a teenager. Even more so, for God's Word alone contains the words that can bring you eternal happiness. Moses then says that if we wish to be blessed by God, we should keep His commandments, rules, and laws. And here I have an illustration I've used, and it's especially appropriate as we go toward Valentine's Day. Suppose a man knows that his love likes roses. So he will bring roses to her because she knows she likes them and because he loves her. So even so, if you love God, we will seek to do those things that we know pleases Him because He loves them. And we know He loves us to obey Him in His rules, His commandments. Of course, we cannot do that perfectly. Only Christ, who was God in the flesh, was totally good and perfect as He walked this earth. We aren't, and we're sorry for it. Thank God that in baptism we are washed in the innocent blood of Christ, so that when we stand before God on the judgment day, His verdict for us will be innocent by virtue of Christ's blood. Moses also advises us to hold on to God. We know that Satan will try to shake our faith in Christ by using marital problems, sin, death, money problems, and ill health. He uses them to shake our faith to get us to let go of that rock of our salvation. But don't do it. For although the rest of the universe may be shaken by inflation, earthquakes, hurricanes, snowstorms, and war, with Christ at our side, although temporarily we may suffer in this world, in the end our lives will be victorious when Christ comes again to rule in a new heaven and earth, and all pain and sorrow are gone. Finally, we are to go in God's way, straight to His heavenly kingdom. That means we must be Christians. Those practicing other religions are all out, for Jesus said, "I am the way. No one comes to the Father except by me." To go in the way of Christ is to go in the way that God goes and leads to God. Only Christ suffered to redeem you. Only He rose from the dead to announce His victory over Satan. Only He is seated at the right hand of God, ruling the universe. Only His way leads to heaven. We too, by loving God, walking in His way, listening to His word, keeping His commandments, rules, and laws, and holding on to Him, will live long. In fact, we'll live eternally. As long as we remain in Christ, that long shall we remain alive. Not only that, but we too will dwell in the promised land as long as we are in His faith. No, not the promised land of Israel, but that land that Jesus promised when He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And we are already citizens of God's kingdom. That place is our home. We sing about it. Heaven is our home. We are merely God's ambassadors here on earth. Moses says in our text, "I give to you face to face the blessing and the curse." The curse was that those who turned their hearts from God who won't listen to his voice, who are compelled to disobedience, who worship and serve other gods, these will all be lost. The blessed was those who love God, listen to his word, keep his commandments, rules, and laws, hold on to him, and walk in his way. These will have that long and even eternal life in the promised land of which Jesus spoke. God advised the Israelites to choose life. I do too. You choose life in Jesus Christ, and eternal life and God's heavenly kingdom will be yours. What a blessing. In fact, it is already yours through your faith in Christ. Amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding stand guard of your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.